Amen. So today, we're looking at James chapter 2, verse 14. And we'll be reading more of that section in a minute, but we want to start out with James chapter 2, verse 14. And it also starts out with the title of the message, What Good Is It? What good is it? And the text goes, What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions, by your works? Can that kind of a faith save anyone? Can that type of a faith save anyone? That there's nothing, there's no demonstration of your faith. So if there is no demonstration of your faith, what good is it? Your faith has to be something in action. The challenge of faith is to point, to lead people to Christ and salvation. So our faith is about us, our confession, our relationship with Christ, the forgiveness of sin, and our establishing our life on the foundation of Jesus Christ, the solid foundation of the Word of God, and how that foundation keeps us safe and secure in everyday life. And no matter what happens in life, we're safe there. But if there's no actions that continue to grow out of that, then James is saying, what good is it? what good is it if it doesn't have something that it shows? So almost all people adjust their conscious behavior. I thought this was a good statement and to kind of go along with this what good is it? Almost all people adjust their conscious behavior between childhood and adulthood. And the adjustment is almost always downward. That is, we learn how to turn the volume of our conscience down so that our ethics align with how we want to live and not how God tells us we should live. Can that kind of faith save anyone? And the answer is no. So, taking heed to the self and unto the doctrines, continue in them, and for in doing this thou shalt have both save thyself and save them that hear. So there's a purpose for what we do, and there is a doctrine that we believe, and it is the relationship with Christ and how that works out into our life. You know, I've said many times, you know, I have many different friends of many different faiths, and there's one particular faith that people are always wanting to know, have I done enough good deeds to balance out my bad deeds? And it's almost like there's a scale, you know? And so they think of what they've done in their past, so it's not that good, so we got to be doing all these good things in order to make it balance out. Well, this type of faith or this type of understanding has agreed with certain Christian doctrines or certain Christian teachings, but not all of them. So there is this idea, and what we're looking at today is the difference between faith and works. James is saying, show me your faith by your works. Paul says, by grace you're saved through faith, not of works. So people over the centuries have tried to balance these things out. In fact, one of the illustrations is about these two knights of old fighting, and one has a gold shield and another has a silver shield, and they're fighting each other to the death, except neither one of them die, and over which shield is better. So which shield is the correct? Is it grace that is saved by faith, not of works, or is it works? Well, it's not a conflict. It's telling us that James is writing to older Christians who's admonishing them, get off your duff and do something. You know, get busy with your works. Show the good things that God has done for you. Paul is writing to new converts, and he's telling them, it's not by works, it's by grace you are saved. So by grace you are saved, but then your salvation and your walk with Christ must be demonstrated in that it has to have or produce a changed life. You know, it's like, what was it? I don't know if I have it correct in my head, that they started a church and they had it in a bar. And the parrot in the corner says, new bartender. New pianist. Same old crowd. So, I don't know where that came from. But anyhow, it fell in and it fell out. The idea is that the people hadn't changed. They were, same old crowd. But the challenge is for us in our walk with God to look at the changed life. If our life remains unchanged, then we are not really a true believer in what Christ has wanted us to do, to accomplish. It'd be hard to say or prove that James and Paul are opposed to each other. They were not opposed to each other. It was individuals who wanted to champion their cause and create tension or create conflict within the readings of these two texts. And so it's generally when people find conflicts in the scripture, it's generally because they don't understand where it was written or how it was written and what, how it was written too, just like these two situations, James writing to older Christians, Paul writing to people who are new converts. And so in our walk with God, it's about what we do doesn't save us, but what we do identifies us. It identifies who we are as a Christian. And it talks of how we have a changed life. So what is showing one's faith? How is it that we show our faith? Is it performance? Is it like being on stage? Did you know the original term hypocrite was connected to actor, someone who plays a part? And so people have associated that people who are playing the part of a Christian and they're really not changed from the inside, they are what we'd call a hypocrite. So we don't want to be a hypocrite. We don't want to be preaching and teaching about a life that we don't live. But we want to have the power and the understanding of the scripture and the understanding of how that the Holy Spirit helps us. And that it's important that we understand that we have one who intercedes for us. He ever lives to make intercession for us. There's a song, "He Ever Intercedeth." And it's about Christ who sitteth at the right hand of the Father, who ever intercedes for us. And so that God through Christ is always praying for his followers, for his body, his, us. He's praying for us and for our lives and for how that the message of Christ would be lived out through us. So we find that sharing our faith, letting your faith, letting your life speak for itself. Sometimes it's by talking about our faith, talking about what God has meant to us, what our faith in Christ has come to mean as we identify our life with Christ and Christ is living in us. So we show our faith. We show our faith by telling. We show our faith by living. We show our faith by talking, but it has to have a change of heart on the inside. In chapter 14, in chapter 2, verse 14 through 26, and I'm not going to read that, but it speaks about addressing the persistent problem of those in the church who claim to have faith, a saving faith in Jesus Christ, yet they show no real world evidence. They show no change about what is going on, and James is telling them, you've got to do something here. You've got to see how this works in your life. You've got to have a concrete, everyday, hands-on application of Christ in one's life. How that the scriptures apply. I can do all things through Christ. That I'm the Lord thy God that healeth thee. That God will give wisdom and guidance, the Proverbs and the Psalms and reading through them, that we're allowing those texts to influence our thinking and to influence our speaking and to influence our behavior. So we're allowing these, the Word of God, which is alive and active, quick and powerful, it moves us, it motivates us. and inspires us. And so we are allowing what God has given to speak to our life, and we are allowing this to be demonstrated through what we say and do and act. So how does Christ live out his life in us? How does Christ live out his life through us, through our experiences? You know, how does God receive glory from what we do? How does he receive, how do people benefit from Christ in our life? And so how is Christ's life making a difference? And it's a challenge. So what challenges our relationship with people? What challenges our relationship with God? What challenges us, and how does the fruit of what God has developed in our life make a difference? So, you know, in this section here, I was thinking about, you know, self-examination. You know, I was with someone, a group of individuals about 6 weeks ago, and some of them were very familiar, have known all my life, and some of them were new. I never met them before. And we had we were there having lunch for about an hour, and so we engaged in many different conversations and so on. And at the end of the conversation, it's very nice meeting you. Yes, very nice meeting you. And the conclusion was, well, it was very entertaining. I thought, entertaining? Was I entertaining? I thought I was just talking and, you know, having fun. You know, but they said it was entertaining, and I thought, wow, am I entertaining? And you don't try to be entertaining, but, you know, but my quick wit, that's a joke. but the challenge is, you know, is it entertaining? Is it about God? Is it about allowing Christ to speak through? I'm thinking about it. Let me talk about my life experiences. Okay, you know, because like people like to talk about themselves. So let me tell you about all these people that I was with when they died. Let me tell you about, you know, and so I don't think people will sit around too long to listen to my conversation. Yeah, because this is my life experiences, counseling and preaching and going, you know, people dying and, you know, helping and leadership. You know, it's like, well, do you want me to talk about that? No. Well, how do you talk about God to people that don't even know you? And how do you get them to, you know, do you start your speech with, let me ask you a question. Do you know Jesus? I had a guy in hospice. He was of a different denomination. It was Christian, but it was a very, very strict, you know, dogmatic religion, okay? And one of the doctors asked me to visit him and talk with him. So I sat down and I talked to him. I wasn't there 2 minutes, and he's got his finger thumping me on the chest, and he's telling me what I need to believe and where it's all going. I said, wait. I came here to talk to you, not for you to convert me. You know, he was just, I mean, he was thumping me on the chest and telling me all this stuff. I said, just wait a minute. You don't have to get one more in the kingdom of God before you die, okay? Let's just see what's going on here. What do you need? And it was, you know, it was that type of an encounter, and I would say, well, I never want to be that guy. And so in our life, what are we, and where are we, and do people see us as an ordinary person, and how that God works in our lives? Do they see us as, a Bible thumper, a preacher? Do they see us as an individual who loves people, loves God? How do they see and interpret what we say and do? And so whenever we're looking at this, faith without works is dead, but by grace you're saved through faith. So it's by the grace of God we become who we are, and it's by the grace of God that we understand the scriptures, but it's also that grace of God has to somehow find its way into our work, our everyday life, our speech, are talking with people about God. We was with a group the other day, so I've been with lots of groups. the other day, and this lady, you know, we're sitting around the campfire. This is just this week. And the lady, and she's a wonderful person. I mean, she's just a really great person. And she says, "I just can't wait to see Jesus." And I thought, wow. I never heard anybody say that before. You know, I mean, I've heard people say, I'd like to see Jesus and stuff. She says, "I just can't wait to see Jesus." Not the guy who's, well, yeah, that's my bucket list. I want to see Jesus. Well, of course, we're Christians, we're going to see him. But she said, not the Jesus of the long hair and walking in sandals, but the one who comes in the book of Revelation with the garments sparkling and the white and the light and the lights and the fire and, you know, all that. That's the Jesus I want to see. And I thought, okay, I never heard anybody say that. But she was very sincere, and she was, you know, and people somewhat responded to it. And you know, you wonder, okay, what is it that is, how is it that we take who we are and the grace that has saved us and the life that enables us to live for Christ, and how do we present that in a way that bring people to Jesus? You know, and that's the challenge. So people are, and those who are, I don't think people, you know, with the debate the other night, you know, if on Facebook there, you know, I'm not saying one way or the other, but one individual was just spewing hatred for, you know, Trump and everything else. But I mean, whether you're for him or against him, it's not, the point is, people who are so filled with hate are blind to what the other people are thinking, but they are blind to their own way of thinking. Hatred distorts truth on both sides. The hatred distorts the truth that the individual sees, and it distorts the truth that the other people are. Whether it's in politics or in relationships within families, hatred destroys. Forgiveness builds. And so the character of Christ is about allowing God to touch our life. Forgive as we have been forgiven. It's the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. If you don't forgive, you don't get forgiven. Sometimes I would like to tell people, you know, if you live long enough, everybody you know and love is going to die. And all you'll have left is your memories. What kind of memories are you making? You see, because the individual I'm thinking of is just really filled with animosity and anger and just separated from everybody and everything, that nobody is doing the right thing but them. And I would just like to just put that out there. You know, you're going to be left with your memories and all you've got. And if you live long enough, these are the only thing that you're going to keep. And you know what? If you keep these, you're going to be a grumpy old man. But the challenge then is not about being grumpy. The challenge is, grace are we saved? By works we demonstrate it. We are what we are in our relationship with God because of His grace. His grace is unmerited favor. We all are equal in His sight. There are no vessels bigger and greater, lesser, unimportant than one another. God has a place and a purpose for each of us in the body of Christ. So how then does the revelation of God's word fit into our life? That's the grace that we receive. And then there is the knowledge of our relationship. Romans 12, 1, 2, and 3, he says, "So, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you." Because of everything that God has done for you, now let's think about this. Let's give ourselves to Christ. So, God is not asking us to do something He hasn't already done for us. And in exchange, we are obtaining something we could never get on our own. So we are giving ourselves up to follow Christ, and in following Christ, we have received an eternal inheritance, and we have received eternal wisdom and insight, We have received eternal blessing and promises. We have received all the power of the Spirit to work in our life. We have God himself praying for us. We have the Spirit of God abiding within us. And so we are gaining everything by giving up sin, that which destroys, that which hinders, that which will keep us out of heaven. Give ourselves to God because of all he has done for us. Let them be living and holy sacrifices, the kind he will find acceptable. A holy sacrifice. You know, in the Old Testament, they had the sacrifices, the lamb and so on. They would kill the lamb and use the blood for the covering of sin. Well, whenever we are living sacrifices for Christ, that we have a higher purpose, a higher calling, that we live our life according to a standard that is set by God, and we can't live this life on our own. We have to have God's help. So having God's help enables us to live the life that God wants us to, and we are a sacrifice to God. Doing what we do, doing the same thing we did yesterday, but we're doing it from us being a sacrifice to God. What changes? The attitude of the person performing the task. Verse 2 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Don't let the bitterness and the envies and the things of this world, don't let them in. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Learn. Now, this is where we're talking about learning, that this is something we learn. You know, we have to apply the truth to our heads. But, you know, there is also the heart. By grace he is saved, so our heart is transformed, and so by our heart being transformed, our mind can be renewed. And our mind is renewed because we are thinking on the thoughts that God has given us to think. To think soberly, verse 3, the last part of it, to think soberly, be honest in your evaluation of yourself by the faith God has given you. By the faith God has given you, think soberly of yourself. And I was looking this up. It brings us to the science of theology. You would never think that those two words would go together, science and theology. The scripture applied to life, the confession of Christ brings forgiveness. Accountability to Christ brings a standard of excellence. So there is the science of our theology. There is an understanding of God. But here again, we have religions and churches that are science and no action. They understand it up here. Oh, I'm going to, if I do enough good, I can outweigh all the bad I've done. You know, they have a science, they have an understanding of something, but they don't have the whole concept. And so in our understanding, it is arriving at a balance. It is arriving at a balance or an understanding of what begins in the heart affects the mind. What affects the mind affects the attitude. What affects the attitude affects the doing. And who we are is become one with Christ. Romans 12:2 says, let God transform your life into a new person by changing the way you think. Changing the way you think. Godly worship involves a life which brings honor to Christ and words to action. Honor the way you think. Think on the things that are lovely, that are pure, of a good report. Think on that which God has established in your heart. And know that there is nothing inside of you that makes you different than anyone else. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But by grace we are saved. We are changed by the grace and mercy of God, that unmerited favor. You cannot earn what God wants to give you. Once God has given it to you, then to everyone he has given us a measure of faith to take that which he has planted in our hearts and minds that I can do all things. God can make us a dreamer. God can make us a very stable and sound person. God can give up whatever is necessary for us in this task of life. God has given it to us, and that we are capable of living it. Galatians 5:1. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery of the law, in the doing. You see, James says, James and Paul are not arguing with each other. They are presenting a truth of where one begins and how one continues to grow. By Paul saying, by grace are you saved, we all need the grace of God. Mercy says, you deserve punishment, but I'm the judge, and I cancel that punishment. Because you have received my mercy, you have received forgiveness. Now, show me what this means to you in how you live, you work, and allow the message of Christ to be spoken through you. Some way it's, you know, I just want to know, I just want to see Jesus. I want to understand the word and how to make application. You know, so whatever it is that's going on in your life, that's where God wants you to be, and allow that presence of God and the word of God to speak through your life in how you live your life of serving Christ and serving others. It's by grace you are saved through faith, not of works. But show me your faith by your works. Amen. What good is it? It's all the good of the world that God has given us. Dear brother and sister, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions, can that kind of faith save anyone? No. So let's live our life before God and before others. Let's stand, shall we? We thank you, Jesus, for hearing our prayers. We thank you, Jesus, that you form us and help us and lead us in our lives. We pray that you would guide us in our understanding of all that is truth. We pray that the foundation that we have in you is strong and sturdy. And Lord, as we go about living our life and living out our faith, God, I pray that with gentleness and love and strength, we will live out our faith in you. Give us the words to say. Give us the understanding. Help us, O God, as we live and speak for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.